Chapter 3. I dropped into my chair and stared at her. Was she senile? Did she actually believe in ghosts? Was her imagination running rampant? Trying to kill you? What do you mean, Miss Evangeline? Surely no one is trying to kill you. She nodded. Oh, I'm afraid you're wrong, Nettie. I'm worth a lot of money, worth more dead than alive to certain people. And, you see, there have been things happening. Strange things. What things? I asked as she paused for another gulp of coffee. My little mare, Melanie. She's a small gray. She and I have been best friends for more than 2 decades, and she's as gentle as a lamb. Usually. Well, the other day, she was acting all nervous and skittish, and when I got on her, she started bucking. Lucky for me that Ken, my stable hand, was close. He grabbed the bridle and got me off. He found a long rose thorn embedded in the saddle blanket. Did it get there by accident? I don't think so. Then, just yesterday, when I came in all hot and sweaty from the garden, Myra poured me a glass of iced tea. I took a sip and it tasted and smelled funny, kind of sour. So I dumped it. Myra swore she got it from the pitcher in the refrigerator, but somebody, I don't think it was Myra, somebody put something in that tea that didn't belong there. I'm just glad I smelled it. And last week, wait, I said. I took a deep breath and downed the rest of my coffee in one long drink. Have you told the sheriff or Cade Morris about your suspicions? Why are you telling me? What does your staff say? That Mr. Morris thinks I'm an old fruitcake anyway. I've had him and his young sidekick as well as Sheriff Cordray out here too many times when I thought somebody had been messing around my horses. No, I didn't tell the law, and I haven't told anybody in my household. Don't trust any of them. But I'm telling you, Nettie. You mentioned when you phoned that there were several people around. Do you have someone living with you? Relatives? I asked. Her hands on the table were shaking, and I longed to cover them with my own, but I suspected Miss Evangeline didn't want sympathy. As if she read my thoughts, she said, I don't want you feeling sorry for me, Nettie, or thinking I've gone round the bend. But I do want you to believe me. Just yesterday, I tripped coming down my stairs, and if I hadn't been quick about grabbing the banister, I'd have taken a bad fall. When I asked Lila May, she's my housekeeper, about it, she examined the place and said it had been waxed. But she hadn't waxed it. So who did? Would you like more coffee? I asked, trying to calm her down a little. If she tried to pour, she'd probably miss her cup. Yes, thank you. You asked who else was in the house. Well, there's Myra, you know, and then Lila May, and my right-hand man, Ken, and his helper, Tyler. She paused and took a deep breath. And then, of course, a head gardener, Jules, and 2 or 3 others he hires to help with the heavy work outside. They don't live here, but they come every day, all but Ken. He has an apartment in the loft of the barn. He needs to be close to the horses. He's so good with them. Then there's Albert, my cousin, and his wife, Pearlie, and Vita Johnson, another cousin. They haven't always been here. Showed up in the last couple of years, destitute, they said, and claiming I needed somebody to look after me. And what could I do? If they needed food and shelter, I sure couldn't tell any of my family they weren't welcome, could I? But just between you and me, Nettie, I thought of vultures circling when they all started coming, and I'm not even dead yet. My kinfolk don't live in the house. They live in the guest house out back. But all my family come here to the big house for their meals. It sounded like Miss Evangeline had a small town, either living or working on the farm. Did her cousins help with anything? She hadn't mentioned it. Actually, if you don't trust your relatives, maybe you should suggest they leave, I said. What a strange story. Was Miss Evangeline losing touch with reality? Was she in danger? And if she was, why? She motioned with her hand as if shooting away a pesky gnat. I can't do that. I don't know which one means me harm, and besides, you know the old saying, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. It's an honor thing. A carver never turns away anybody who's needy, especially kinfolk. Anyhow, this is where you come in. She smiled and nodded. It seems pretty suspicious to me that my long-lost relatives would just show up when I'm getting along in years. I don't ever want this place parceled out for house developments or any such thing after I'm gone. And none of my kin loves this place like I do. If somebody waved an offer to buy under their noses, they couldn't resist the million or so they'd get for this. I want my farm to stay just like it is after I'm gone. She paused and cocked her head as if listening for a moment before she continued. Ken loves it, and I thought about surprising everybody by leaving the whole kit and caboodle to him. But he grew up in Kentucky, had racehorse and parents, and what if he decided to sell this place and go back home? No, I don't trust any of them. With the exception of one or two bequests, I'm willing it to the Oklahoma Historical Society. She seemed less nervous now, and I silently tried to digest this startling revelation. Leaving it to the state? She must be quite suspicious of her family to consider cutting them out. No wonder she wanted her intentions kept secret. Those who were hoping to inherit would be sadly disappointed. Miss Evangeline, all you have to do is make sure this is all covered in your will. Your wishes will be carried out, I said. She wrinkled her nose. That's just it, Nettie. I don't have a will, or at least I haven't had till now. I've been too busy living, but, well, my old heart isn't what it used to be. Even if I'm wrong about somebody trying to kill me, I won't be here many more years. That's just a fact of nature as the good Lord intended. I need to make sure of a few things before my time is up, so I'm going to make a will. My friend Jackie Murray's husband is a lawyer, I began. Yes, I've phoned him, she interrupted. I'm going to see him tomorrow afternoon and get everything done, all legal, but I don't want anybody here to know that's what I'm going to do. Here, she said, pulling a piece of paper from her pants pocket. I've written down what I want you to do. Pictures I want included in the brochure. You see, I want a brochure made up for the historical folk to look at, and I've written down a few facts about the house and grounds, things nobody would know but me. This is what I want included, along with the pictures you take. I want your brochure to be what the historical folk use when they open my home to the public after I'm gone. I want all these acres to remain in one piece. She thrust the paper under my nose. Sign right there at the bottom, she directed. Sign? I asked. Why do you want me to sign anything? 'Cause I don't want you backing out. I've made a copy and I've already signed it, so I want you to sign it too. This just says what I want photographed and tells a little about each thing. Those pecan and oak trees, for example, they're older than Methuselah. And that herb garden, the maize, they are all historical and important. Just sign right there at the bottom. I've listed your fee, too. I gasped when I saw the amount she would pay me. I would have made these pictures just for the honor of doing so. After glancing through her directions, I signed, and I signed the duplicate. Now, I don't mind if folks see you taking pictures. That's fine. Say that I've asked you to take pictures for the library to exhibit or something. Just don't tell anyone about my plans for the farm. Okay, I said. Miss Evangeline sighed and leaned back in her chair, more relaxed than at any time during my visit. As I said, I'm going to see Ron Murray tomorrow and make out a proper will. There's some things I want done that have nothing to do with what you're going to do. Quite a bit of money I've got to dispose of. But this takes a load off my mind. If you can, come a half hour or so before sunset to get started taking pictures. I like the light that time of day, and the farm will show up best then. You can take more pictures another time, when the sun's out bright. Thank you, Nettie. So I was dismissed. She certainly had a forceful manner, but then she ran a household and a big organization, and was used to her wishes being obeyed. I didn't take offense. She walked me down the hall and surprised me by giving me a quick hug before I went back to my car. "You're so much like Javin," she said. Then she closed the door. The sun had set, and moonlight gilded the pathway. The shrubs beside it cast long shadows as I walked toward my car. What a strange and unexpected tale! Already I was looking forward to tomorrow. It wasn't until I had pointed my SUV toward home that I realized I hadn't secured an invitation for Pat and Jackie to come back to the estate with me.